Right now on VFN TV, President Trump declares Iran's military as a terrorist group, puts them on the terrorist list. Also, we're going to go to Israel and find out how the government works and what happens when a prime minister is elected. We're going to talk about that and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, we're going to be talking about him in a moment, but President Trump declares Iran's military as a terrorist group, puts them on the terrorist list, which changes everything. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me, of course, is John Ramos. And this specifically is such a huge change because it means that now we can approach the Iran military, who's a sponsor of state terrorism and all
number
the things.
Number one state sponsored
right.
terrorists.
And they're just everywhere you can imagine they can get to. They're trying to get to be able to stir up and flip the governments and just do some. I think their primary factor in Iraq that's going on now.
In Syria.
And so the fact that President Trump declares them, Iran's, which is the enemy, but they shout, the government has them shout. Now, the Iranian people, you know, there's a big difference between the Iranian people, you know,
and the government.
And
sure.
the government. I'm talking about the government. But the government gets selected folks and has them chant. You know, death to America, death to Israel. They took aircraft carriers, pulled them out into the water, fake foe, you know, aircraft carriers, and shoot them and say death to them.
That's America.
Yeah, death to America. And so you're looking at, it's been, their focus is on destroying God's name in the earth, you know, Jehovah God's name and the followers of God and the followers of Jesus Christ.
They call America Big Satan, they call Israel Little Satan.
Right, right, you know. Right. That, it's declared that. So you're looking at, you know, how do we end this terrorism that's going on in the world? Well, one way to fight it is by declaring the ones who are the number one state sponsor of terrorism, Iran's military, which I heard it makes up like around 20% of their whole national product.
Yeah, it's the Islamic yeah. Revolutionary yeah. Guard, you know. And right. and state sponsored terrorists is pretty interesting because we're saying that it's a country,
yeah.
not a radical separatist group, right. but an actual country that's sponsoring.
And unheard their military, of. Who yeah. the military, this particular regime, was chosen by the Ayatollah. It was established in the 70s, I believe, when they had the 1979 throwing America, the
moving of the Shah, maybe?
The Shah out of Iran and declaring they want to do this, and they put the Ayatollah, that I guess he put himself over Iran, and this is when it happened. So you're looking at 20%. Imagine if 20% of America's income was put into terrorism on the face of the earth. That's a big percentage of a country's of value.
Yeah. Well, we saw on a previous program that a great percentage of the resources and funds that were going to Hamas was put into terrorism and attacking Israel instead of spending those same amount of monies on mosques and hospitals and schools.
And think about it, if your country is right close to Iran and they've shot missiles off before coming into, at least from Iraq, and they're feeding missiles into Gaza, which is right there by your country, and they declare we want to destroy you and put you in the sea.
Hello.
And your country's only about 60 miles wide at its widest point. I'm talking about Israel. And then imagine how you feel about President Trump nailing this reality that this place is a number one state sponsor of terrorism. The very place that the previous administration, prior to President Trump, gave them the power to be a plan to be able to have nuclear weapons, you know?
Gave them the power and piles of cash.
Pallets of cash. And of course, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke at the United Nations, he spoke at Congress, and he showed specifically, this is how far away from getting nuclear weapons in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And so, now you're looking at all the things have changed since President Trump have gotten in. I was talking to a friend of mine in Pakistan. He said, I wish President Trump could come here and help us work out peace, you know, where we're at, because India was firing some missiles and all that.
Well, if you look at the previous 8 years, it seemed like they had a doctrine of appeasement. We just go play nice with all the people all over the world.
No sense.
Give Iran billions of dollars.
Right.
Loosen up all these sanctions. Don't get involved. Talk to universities and have the students flip countries.
Yes.
Suggest, you know. And now you have a president that goes to Europe and says, NATO, you're going to pay for defending your own countries. You have a president that, you know, says, we're going to make it clear our friends are Israel and their enemies are our enemies.
I think the NATO, we were talking about NATO, I think they said that they got over $500 billion more dollars in income, $500 million.
That's amazing.
Since the President Trump has come, which means America's not having to fund the
exactly.
world's military approach because NATO goes out and...
The climate pact.
Oh, gosh, you can't...
We're not going to be a part of that. You know, so you have a president that on the foreign front... He's doing a phenomenal
job.
Well,
I heard also that, you know, we're only responsible for 15% of the world's emissions. And they're talking about global warming.
Over 90%.
And we only pay 90%. And it's like, you know, anyway. So Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had something to say,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, he did.
How did he find out? If you're that close to Iran, and they're very close to Iran, their goal is to push you in the sea and destroy you. And if we had somebody that close to us doing that, we would deal with it.
Yes,
and
we
now
would.
We have a president that's dealing with it. And so it's, in God's eyes, this is huge. No pun intended.
Yeah.
This is huge. What did BB say?
We have a slide for that. This is what he said. Thank you, my dear friend President Donald Trump, for deciding to declare the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist organization. And this is what he said in a tweet. Thank you for answering one of my most important requests, which serves the interests of our country and the countries in the region.
What an amazing leader Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is. I want to encourage you, listen, to comment below. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, if you stand with God and you read Scripture, you know, God's going to judge everybody in the Valley of Jehoshaphat in the last day about what we did with the land of Israel. Did we treat it well? Did we divide it? And will we judge off of that? And how important it is to see a country stand up and say, listen, we stand with Israel. We stand with them defensively, but we also stand with them offensively, said, if we have to go to deal with that situation. Also, you're looking at Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also declaring the West Bank, you know, as territory, their territory, national territory, and all, which is, it's very important for that to happen. And they're not going to push anybody out, which is great as well.
Yep.
Also, the Golan Heights, which just got declared by President Trump. Good things are happening, but
States Embassy in Jerusalem,
yes,
which Brazil and other countries are wanting to do the same thing,
right,
and have done the same thing.
Yes, you're looking at, you know, something biblically is about to shift in the earth as we know it. We got to pay close attention. Israel's like a time clock. So comment below. What are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on a president that stands up for Israel, you know, that stands up for what's right, that declares the enemy of Israel, the enemy of America, as a state sponsor of terrorism when they are the number one sponsor of terrorism? They killed in the 80s many, many of our Marines with just a drive-up bomb in their barracks, and it was just crazy days there in those times. And it's right now they're seeing over 600 military soldiers, approximately, if not more, their military is directly responsible for the death of 600 of our soldiers,
wow,
but done through
sure.
their terrorism.
Throughout
such,
the years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. This is just recently.
Recently. Wow.
This is just recently. So you're looking at, it was 800 alone, I believe, at the Marine base when that happened during President.
And they held them hostages until Jimmy Carter was out in prison.
Well, President Reagan was in when they bombed the barracks, the military barracks. And then prior to that, the 79 is when Carter was in.
And they had hostages. They
had American hostages, right. And that's when Ted Koppel, by the way, became a news figure, if you didn't know that. That's
interesting, when leadership shifted in Ronald Reagan, as soon as he got sworn in, those hostages were immediately being released.
Yes.
Something about new leadership, authoritative, you know, folks taking office.
Yeah, it's so important. It matters who you choose as your leader of your country. And I encourage you to really pray biblically and look at your leaders. And, you know, your leader doesn't, you know, God can use a man. He can be God's man or woman, but not necessarily a godly man or godly woman.
Right.
So I'm not saying either way on that, but I'm just saying, listening to what God's doing. When you have somebody saying they're going to stand up for the church, President Trump is a friend of Israel, a friend of the church in America and the world, and he's a friend of the child
life.
In the womb, life, that the baby would live. By the way, that's hitting three big numbers on God's value
at
list.
The value system. Those are A1s.
That's huge. That's huge. And then God does, no matter who you are, God stands up for you when you stand up for him. And so I want to encourage you, comment below. What are your thoughts on what's taking place and declaring, you know, Iran's military as the state sponsor of terrorism, terrorist group? You know, what's going to happen with this is going to allow us to be able to trace all the money coming into Iran. And nobody can do business in the world with a state sponsor of terrorism. If they do, they get penalized.
Absolutely.
And so what you're going to see is funding's cut off, more money cut off, more money cut off.
Starved out, huh?
And there's prophecy about a revival in Iran. In southern Iran, it's in the scriptures. We talked about it before. You can find it on the torch. So, you know, and God, and the per capita, the fastest growing church in the world is Iran.
In Iran.
And it's tough to be the church in Iran, but it's just sometimes maybe tough is the answer to that.
God's doing something.
God is doing something. So comment below. Write to us at friends at VFNKB.com. John, what's next after the break?
Listen, we get back from this break, we're going to go to Israel and learn about their election process, how it works. I think it's going to shed a lot of insight and give you hope for the future. Join us. We get right back from the break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith in what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO, I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator, I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody knows, needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why I'm writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get your, it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We're going to send it to you for free. And you can go to VFNKB.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600
yeah.
wisdom nuggets in addition to these success strategies. It's yours now, VFNKB.com.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Listen, what's taking place inside the government? We look at American government and we think everything happens the way American government happens. Well, it doesn't.
Nope.
Only in America does it happen that way.
That's right.
Everybody, they kind of have a concept of that in different countries. But the reality is, who would know better than Israel about having the Jewish people having government that doesn't represent them, because they've been treated so badly by other every government of the world.
Sure.
And so now they establish their own country. Wouldn't they establish a government that
it's equitable?
Well, it's not equitable that you can't just rule us and take us over and send us to camps and stuff. I know we don't have a lot of time. We've got to go right to it right now. So introduce this one segment, because this is a powerful.
Well, we're going to hear straight from a reporter there from CBN as he's actually there in Israel covering the election, and he's going to share with us this whole process and how it works.
John Wage,
take a look.
Actually, Israel's in pretty good shape right now as a nation, and they've had 10 years of Netanyahu as prime minister, 10 straight years. That's more than we'd ever get for a U.S. president. And as a result, we've got things like big changes on the move of the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, the scrapping of the Iran deal, the U.S. recognizing the Golan Heights, plus Israel really reaching out to other nations with its technology, its water ability to do drip irrigation and kind of water resources and other things. I mean, Netanyahu's been very successful. They just opened an embassy in Rwanda just in the past week. And so you have that, too, and even quiet negotiations going on with other Arab nations. So a lot in Netanyahu's corner for what he's actually accomplished as prime minister. Yeah, what happens, Heather, is that once the results are in, the president of Israel, who's really a figurehead, a kind of ceremonial leader of the country, invites all the parties who have done well in the election and says to them, who do you think should be the one to form a government? Now, that person, when that person is chosen, he or she has 28 days to get a coalition together. If they don't get it, they have 14 more days. They can petition for 14 more days or so, maybe 18 days, to get a coalition formed. If that doesn't happen, it goes back to the drawing board. And so it's going to take weeks to find out who, not necessarily who will be the prime minister, but whether the winner can get a coalition together to lead the country.
That's so important when you think about that, because just because you get elected prime minister doesn't mean you're going to be the prime minister.
Imagine that.
Because it's so important you think about it. In other words, you could win off a popular race with the people, but if you didn't have government leaders who are already been voted in by the people that are willing to work with you, then you go back to the drawing board again. They give you another 10 months or whatever, and then if you don't do it then they go back to the people and say, we need a new prime minister.
It's really the test of a leader to me.
Yeah.
Whether you can work with other people, your
build
peers.
Build coalitions.
Build coalition.
Yeah.
To bring change and to lead. And you think about it, Netanyahu's been a prime minister for 10 years.
Right.
And from the outside looking in, looks like he's done a fantastic job.
Right. And you prevent a populist leader coming in and just taking the country over, like in Venezuela, because now you got to convince the government, people that have been elected by the people, to build a coalition. And in America's government, we still have that tension where they just kind of, what happens is they don't build a coalition. And they're at odds with each other. The country goes nowhere for 4 years or for 2 years until the Congress rotates. The good thing about it is Congress rotates every 2 years. I encourage you to vote everyone out of Congress that has not agreed with the direction of the country. And if you do that, find somebody who stands up for our Constitution, who stands up for God, who stands up for Israel, who are supportive and wants to work together with the president. And guess what? This whole country will be just pushed into a beautiful area. So it makes a huge difference in America. So comment below. What are your thoughts about the different forms of government? What do you think about the form of government with Israel and what they're doing with their form of government, the Knesset, and what we do in America in our form of government? We've got three equal branches of government. We are a republic versus a democracy. A democracy is controlled by the majority of the people, and a republic is actually under law. It's controlled by law. So everybody's subject to law, which is much better than the masses going out there. So comment below. What are your thoughts on that? You write to us at friends at VFNKB. We love to be able to hear you. It's VFNKB, friends at VFNKB.com.
That's right.
John?
Listen, we're going to go straight to the White House because we're going to talk about President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Recently, Donald Trump, our president, declared Golan Heights, Israel declared sovereignty over Golan Heights, and our president recognized that. That's so important because Israel took that property over in the war with Syria, and it's been quote-unquote contested, even though Israel has occupied it. It's their land. They're over it. But to have a president of the United States put the full backing of this nation, a lot like what President Harry Truman did when Israel was recognized as a nation, is quite significant. So significant, we're going to hear what the Prime Minister of Israel just had to say to President Trump in response to that. Take a look.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to have Prime Minister Netanyahu in the Oval Office. We've had numerous great meetings, and we talk usually about trade and military and lots of things. But today, I think we're talking about more than anything else. We're celebrating the Golan Heights. It's something that I've been hearing about for many years from many people. I've been studying for years, and this should have been done, I would say, numerous presidents ago. But for some reason, they didn't do it, and I'm very honored to have done it. So I just want to say, Bibi, it's an honor to have you at the Oval Office. Thank you.
Thank you. May I say that I've been here many, many, many times. I've been around.
You have.
And I've met many friends of Israel in this office, but as I said in the other room just now, in a day of history, we have never had a greater friend than President Trump. And I think there is a unique bond between our countries, between our administrations, between the two of us. There has been no greater bond than that. It serves the interests of Israel in ways that I cannot begin to describe, because not everything that the President and I talk about can be shared with the public. And I think that in many ways, the President knows and the United States knows that America has no better friend than Israel. We are willing to fight for our common values. We're willing to fight. You have an ally that is willing to take up arms in defense of liberty, in defense of our land, our people, and our common values. We admire America, and we're grateful to you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
So rewarding to see the friendship that we have with Israel. It's so different than it was just one administration ago. John, take us into what's happening. Why are we spending so much money in Israel?
Well, listen, just like the Prime Minister said, Israel has no better friend than America. And the question is, why do America spend so much money in Israel? Well, you'll find out. Take a look.
Why do we spend so much money on Israel? Over my decades of military service, as the Deputy Commander of the United States European Command, and now as a security advisor, I've often heard people make this complaint. The truth is, we don't spend enough. We should spend more, and for purely selfish reasons. Every dollar we spend on Israel is a dollar spent, in effect, in our own defense. As a value proposition, it's all in America's favor. Let me explain. But before I do, let me just say this. I can easily defend why America supports Israel on moral grounds alone. I've been there on numerous occasions. It's a good and decent country. Given the neighborhood it lives in, I find that both remarkable and admirable. But I will make this argument solely on the basis of America's security. Our partnership with Israel is unique. Unlike most of our current treaty alliances, say with South Korea, our ties with Jerusalem are not premised on American troops serving as tripwires on Israel's front lines. This is because Israel takes care of itself. America, for good reason, remains wary of any further military engagement in the Middle East. And this only strengthens the case for giving Israel the tools it needs to defend its borders. Here are three things we can do. Again, all in our own self-interest. First, the United States should front-load its financial commitment to Israel. We have agreed to provide Israel $38 billion in defense assistance over 10 years. That's a big number, but it's also a great deal for America. In addition to giving Israel the financial wherewithal to purchase the weapons it needs, it also benefits the American economy. Under the agreement, Israel must spend these funds on U.S. products, and it's happy to do so. Without adding a cent to the total, the United States should front-load this assistance to reflect the changing strategic situation in the Middle East, specifically the rising danger presented by Iran and its proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas. An accelerated timetable would allow Israel to acquire critical capabilities like more F-35 attack squadrons, more refueling tankers, and more precision munitions. It will need this hardware to defend itself and American interests against those persistent and growing threats. Second, the United States should enhance our alliance with Israel. It may surprise you to know that the United States does not have a defense treaty with this essential ally. Lots of agreements, but no treaty. We should. Why is this important? Because it will send a loud strategic signal to Israel's enemies that if you mess with Israel, you mess with us. Israel is not going to ask us for troops, but we should be giving them anything else they need, intelligence, weapons technology, and other vital information. And we know this is a two-way street. Israel gives a lot in return. Which leads me to the third point. The United States and Israel should build on their already close collaboration in research and development. Israel is one of the most high-tech economies in the world. American investors understand this. More venture capital is spent per capita in Israel than in any other country. 9 out of the 10 largest companies have R&D facilities there. This is in a country of just 8 million people. When we sell them military gear, they adapt it to their own special needs. The American military, in turn, benefits from these innovations, especially in the area of desert warfare. Indeed, President Obama's Defense Secretary, Ashton Carter, made this point. There's no question that American lives have been saved by Israeli technology. There are many cutting-edge projects we can work on together, such as directed energy weapons. This new form of cannon emits highly focused energy to neutralize targets. Such weapons will be needed to counter the spread of cheap, deadly, and plentiful mortars and drones from Iran and other bad actors. All this explains why I find it so infuriating to see Americans, especially young Americans, support anti-Israel groups like BDS, Boycott, Divest, Sanction, that want to weaken and destroy Israel. Putting aside the perverse logic of these groups, that we should punish a free and open democracy, it's self-destructive. Israel is on the front line of terror. They, not us, are within missile range of Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas. To the extent these enemies of freedom are held in check, they are held in check by Israel. And they ask from us not one U.S. soldier, only for military aid, which they spend on American defense products to help defend American interests. We should give them that aid without reservation. Sure, it costs us treasure, but it saves us blood, our blood. It's also the right thing to do. I'm General Chuck Wald, United States Air Force, for Prager University.
I encourage you to support PragerU because they are definitely doing these great videos helping to explain things. That's why we're a friend of Israel. It benefits the whole world, anybody that wants peace, and definitely a blessing to America itself. Listen, if you haven't got the book yet, it is here for you. It's a free book, just small little shipping handling fee right there. I Will Fight, over 502 nuggets of wisdom, 10 strategies to fight for your success, and a prophetic dream that God gave me about the wealth transfer that's coming and how we got to position ourselves for it. Get yours today. Go to vfnkb.com. Also, don't forget, we're on Spotify. Our podcast is on Spotify, iTunes, all those wonderful places. Be sure to rate us right there. We're excited about coming to you. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing, Lord, over our audience. God, I pray a healing over their relationships and marriages. I pray for financial breakthrough, Lord, awakening, Lord, for what you're about to do in the earth. We pray a blessing over Israel, Lord God, protection over them. God, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front line. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.